get older, losing my hair many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very exciting episode of the North and South of Things. And I'm coming to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and my friend from Atlanta.
It's George in Atlanta.
Hello, George.
How's the frozen tundra?
Very frozen. We're calling it Planet Hoff these days.
Wait, I'm not sure I get that reference. Planet Hoff?
Yeah, it's a Star Wars reference.
See,
I'm sure Dr. Stone will understand.
I have just told more on myself in that 10 seconds than I probably ever will. Okay. Is this a Rogue One thing, or is this like I should know this already?
No, this is, you should know
okay,
this.
Okay, all right then. Yeah. I have, in my defense, I have not yet watched those three prequels. I bought them, but I have not yet watched them.
Well, that's okay.
Okay, then.
So, George, earlier today, I am going through a stack of mail, and so I came across this envelope that says, Happy Birthday, Mark.
Uh-oh.
Card enclosed.
No!
And
not the dreaded.
That's very sweet. I wonder who's sending me a card. And I open it up, and you guessed it. It's the AARP. First mailing.
Is there a bigger kick in the gut?
No, there's not, because we're going to be talking about becoming 50 on this episode, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, you're not alone. I too will be facing that, both of us, in the next 12 months. You a little closer.
Yes, actually in 9 days.
Lord Jesus, December 27th, 2016, our co-host, Mark, will be entering the next half century of his life.
Yes. Oh, good God. I don't know if I could stand another half century.
That's nice.
But there you are.
And I am in the countdown now. I'm officially in the countdown. My mind's been on it for the last year, to be honest with you. Okay. I turned 50 in November 16, 2017. So, I don't know, though. I have decided that I'm not going into it with anything remotely negative or any negative energy or any negative attitude about it. I can joke about that AARP letter. But I'm going to be waiting on it because I know it's coming.
Well, it shows up about a month before your birthday, just in case you want to, take some notes about that.
Okay. And how do they know, by the way? Where do they get that information?
That's a really good question. I don't know. Maybe they talk to Santa Claus or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm not liking that. Dear AARP. I understand you are in violation of my privacy. Well, Mark, I don't know. We've heard the whole phrase, 50 is the new whatever.
Right.
It does feel like 50 is not the same thing as it was when our parents turned 50, or certainly our grandparents turned 50.
Right. I agree.
In fact, there's a survey that seems to suggest that 50 is the perfect age.
Well, I think it's going to be pretty splendid.
I don't know if it's the perfect or not. And I'm also not real clear. Speaking of the whole fake news industry, I'm not 100% sure about the source of this poll, but the article's from today.com. And it's surveys. It's the commonly known surveying outfit. What's it called? Harris Interactive. They've done a survey of more than 2,000 people. Almost 2,300 people to say that if you could live forever in good health, at what particular age, if you could live forever in good health at a particular age, what age would you like it to be? And, they got a variety of answers, but the average answer was apparently 50.
I think, given the option, This is pretty swell. I mean,
I thought you were going to say given the alternative.
Well, there is the alternative. Right. We all know what that is, the big dirt nap. But, right. You know, I've been thinking about, you know, what it is to be 50. And, you know, because, like, I don't know about you, but in my 20s, I was certainly trying to find myself. In my 30s, I was still trying to find myself. In my 40s, I had it kind of figured out. And, you know, at 50, it's like I'm pretty established. I know who I am. And, you know, at this point, it's like I have no more fucks to give, you know.
I'm immediately picturing you in a field with Julie Andrews.
That's right.
Right.
And it's kind of like you get to be this age and, you know, I'm going to be that guy who's maybe not telling the kids to get off his lawn. But certainly, you know, I am not going to really care what you think about me. Yeah. And, you know, so.
Were you really trying to find yourself in your 20s?
Yeah, I was because,
wow,
you know,
very introspective child you were.
Because I knew I was gay probably at a very early age, especially, you know, certainly by the time I was 16. But I was still trying to figure out how to reconcile that with my family, my culture, my community.
Yeah.
At that point, my religion. So all of that was kind of a process. But
yeah, I think I was pretty much later to the trying to. It was probably more like mid-30s for me that whole process started. Sort of having that sense of, all right, there, you know, what's my purpose? What am I here for? What are my goals? But you're right. I tend to agree with the results of this survey. It does feel like, you know, right now we you know, in terms of the peak of both our wisdom and our health.
Yes.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
And I think, let me see what else the survey said. I think it seems like there was a breakdown of, let me view the results. Yeah. So 39% said 40 to 50. And 41% said 30 to 40. So how the hell the majority said 50% in these results, I don't know. Maybe I took these maybe I printed this story a little too early. the article actually says on average men wanted to be younger than women, choosing 47 over the average age of females, which is 53. Oh, so there's your average 50. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's interesting, though. Men wanted to be a little younger than women.
Yeah, probably because they wanted to keep their hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny. Did you notice in that song, in the opening, when I'm 64, yeah, when I still have my hair, I was like, yes, too late. Yeah.
Well, I have been blessed with great genetics, and I still have a wonderful head of hair, but now it's turning this foxy silver. So
are you really?
I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. I have a friend in Tennessee. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? I got a friend in Tennessee who is 10 years my junior, and he is going gray. I would assume that's premature gray. And it's very interesting. And I'd say when that happens to people, don't hide it. Fucking do it. You know, I mean, if you're getting large swaths of your hair in gray, go for it. Accelerate it. Yeah.
Sure.
Why not? I don't think necessarily gray is, I think it can be rather distinguishing looking on gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
At a younger age, even. Yeah. So, let's talk big picture. How do you feel? You're much closer to it than I am. I've been thinking about it a lot in the last year, but it's knocking on the door for you.
You know, It's just a number to me, really.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that I've made it this far. And I'm in the health that I am, you know, with the exception of some of these aches and pains and not being as flexible as I'd like to be, or to have kind of the stamina. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another thing that I've kind of noticed as I'm getting older,
mm-hmm.
Is that being able to do things for an extended period of time is somewhat lessening, but it's not in a bad way.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, I got a Fitbit back in, I want to say March or April of this year. And I'm still, you know, I average on any given week anywhere between like 19 and 26 miles per week.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And I'm like going, how many, you know, 30-year-olds are doing that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, big picture, it's a number.
Not stressing about it. Yeah.
I'm not stressed about it. I'm going to wear it like a badge of honor. I think at 50, you know, I can finally start wearing the caftans and telling people just, you know, fuck off.
Or you
that
can
sort of thing. Yeah.
Or you could admit to now wearing the caftans.
Yeah. I can go out and wear them in public.
Oh, in public. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I feel the same way. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about any deeper thoughts we have about turning 50 and any plans we have and how we are approaching the year. But before we get into that, and I'm much the same way as you in terms of just general big picture. I refuse to look at it negatively because, you know, consider the alternative. You know, it's to be celebrated, and you know, things in life and work and whatnot, you know, are kind of where they need to be. Could they be better? Sure. But they certainly are at an appropriate place for that age, I feel like. So I wanted to see, we've heard that phrase, 50 is the new 30, right? I'm sure you've heard that too,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Those numbers seem to change, right? Like 80 is the new 60 and
yeah,
all this business. But I was curious as to, like, you know, is that true? You know, I mean, like, there's no doubt that we're living longer. There's been a number of stories on the fact that we are both living longer. And a lot of credit is given to improve access to healthcare and the improved nature of healthcare in general, particularly cardiovascular care. In sort of the modern era, the ability to control diet and exercise and medication, statins, you know, blood pressure, blood pressure medicine, things that can help reduce blockage in the arteries. And even for people who aren't controlling their diet and exercise, the medicines are helping folks sort of have fewer cardiovascular issues. Mm-hmm. One of the things that surprised me was that that's being attributed to longer living, healthy living, is improved vision care.
Really?
Yeah. So apparently the rationale is that with improved vision, there are fewer accidents.
Oh yeah, that seems to make sense.
It does once you start thinking about it. Like, so fewer accidents means fewer like really maiming and disabling sorts of situations. Like, you know, if you fell, you broke a hip, you now have to be in a wheelchair.
Right.
Or, you know, of course, that's not necessarily true because of hip replacement and knee replacement and all that kind of stuff today. But the fact that there is improved vision care, people can just simply see better when they're walking, when they're, you know, running, when they're driving, you know, for heaven's sake, which is weird because you wouldn't necessarily automatically attribute that to health. How's your vision, Mark?
It's been stable. I do have a astigmatism correction on my glasses. And then, of course, I have the progressive lenses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's I don't think my prescription really has changed very much in the last 5 years or so. As a matter of fact, it wasn't the last appointment that I had, but the one previous to that. So that was, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
My eye doctor basically said, well, you know, you could actually pass the driver's vision test without your glasses at this point.
That's good.
And I said, that's terrifying. Because, you know, I really do need my glasses when I'm driving, especially so I can make out the signs and reading and things like that. But he told me that, and I was like, that's kind of scary. He goes, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. I can tell that I'm probably going to have to make the switch, not very soon, but to more of a bifocal sort of arrangement, yeah, rather than the progressives, because, if I'm tired.
Now, so what's the progressives?
Can be a problem.
Is a soft blend from one prescription to the other, right?
It's a soft blend from the reading to mid-distance to far vision. So
okay, so that's what I have. I had some sort of unusual situation. I had like three, and mm-hmm. Those are just called transitions. Okay, so I have transitions.
Yeah, progressive lenses, basically.
Progressive, gotcha. So you think, now, is that common to go from the progressives to a bifocal, where you just need like one prescription for sort of both near and far, and then one for reading?
Yes, basically. And that often happens usually around 60 or 70 or so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you go from bifocal to trifocal if you really have problems and need a lot of magnification. But I think, you know, in general, just the eye, you know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. But really, the eyes are a really good indicator of overall health.
You know who probably doesn't appreciate that? Stevie Wonder.
Probably not.
Come on. The man's got all kinds of soul. Give me a break. All right. Sorry.
So I think eye care, you know, dental care. I mean, I have yet to have any sort of major crown work on my teeth.
Wow. Good for you.
You know, and I think, you know, doing those basics, vision care, dental care, and then, you know, physical, you know, going to your doctor for kind of a regular checkup is a really good thing. Now, I've been kind of putting off my annual physical because I know what my doctor is going to prescribe the next time I see him, because you reach that magical 50 age, there's a certain procedure one needs to have.
Yep.
Yeah. And, I'm not looking forward to that.
I had completely inappropriately, like not paying attention to my health until about 5 years ago. And then I started doing a somewhat annual physical. And the first time I did that, the doctor was like, when's the last time you were in a doctor's office? I was like, I don't really know. and he actually did that procedure at that time. Thankfully we didn't have to do that again until next year. So, when I actually turned 50, but you know, but it's important and early detection is critical. So the whole prostate thing is important. Got to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Got to make it happen.
Well, it's prostate and the colonoscopy.
The colonoscopy. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of them. I asked him, and I was surprised about the frequency of the colonoscopy. Like, it's only once every 10 years after that, which seems not terribly frequent.
Yeah. No, it's not terribly frequent. So, I think if you get by your first one without any sort of red flags, you're good for a decade.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, this is positive. Very good. So I was digging around a little bit in prep of the episode to think about how long Americans were living. And apparently, you know, from 92 to 2008, our life expectancy, specifically looking at 65-year-olds, the life expectancy increased from 17.5 to 18.8 among 65-year-olds. And so now it's, I mean, like it's at sort of an almost record high. I believe it is a record high. But despite how much we've improved here in America, we are still nowhere near the best in the world.
No.
We currently rank 53rd in the world amongst life expectancy. And so I was curious once I realized we were like that far down the totem pole, like who the hell's living better than us? Cause you know, we're the best America, right?
America.
So I found a wonderful article. Want to take a guess who lives, give me your guess at who lives the longest on the planet.
Well, you know, as I was getting more and more educated and some of these studies came out, I mean, Japan has always ranked.
Yeah.
And right up there.
And believe it or not, as of, I think this might be a late 2015 story, but Monaco is the only people to rank above Japan. Japan's number two with 85 years, but Monaco ranks number one with 89.63 years.
Wow. Wow.
So I've got some notes here. Mark's got access to these notes. And we're just going to read to you kids why some of these places do so well. And there's a common answer. Just want you to pay attention to that common answer, yeah. Okay? Number one, Monaco ranks number one with 89.63 years. Why? Because Monaco's state-funded health care system helps to increase life expectancy by providing proper health services to its citizens. It has one of the interesting things about a lot of these folks is their diet, obviously. So that's probably the two most important things: access to healthcare and diet. But one of the common things, in addition to state-funded healthcare or supported healthcare, is a seafood diet. A diet, and so I'm reading here now. The Mediterranean climate is great for the cultivation of fruits and vegetables. Also, French and Italian cuisine had an influence on the diet of Monaco people, as many studies shown. The Mediterranean diet is one of the healthiest diets in the world due to its proximity to the sea. Fish is a very important ingredient in the diet. But tell us about Japan.
Well, Japan has a life expectancy of 85 years. And that's given to the Japanese who keep a very active and healthy lifestyle. I'm sure you've heard of Okinawa, which is a tiny island in East China Sea. It's famous for its exceptional high number of centenarians. And those are people living to 100 years or more.
Oh, those are not people with 100 arms. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, right. And studies have suggested that Okinawans have 80% fewer cases of heart disease and cancer compared to the Americans. And one of the reasons, key here, diet. Japanese eat balanced and light meals. They eat a lot of fish and dozens of ingredients with extremely high amounts of antioxidants. Seaweed, leafy greens, and tofu play an important role in the Japanese diet. And they have a Confucian teaching called Hara Hachibu, which means they eat until they are 80% full. So they're not lining up at the buffet.
Can you say that Confucius teaching again?
Hara Hachibu.
Okay, so I heard hibachi in there somewhere.
No, it's hachibu.
Hara hachibu.
Hara hachibu.
Hara hachibu.
Yeah, eating to 80% full. rather than stuffing yourself.
Yeah, that's probably pretty smart. We're not going to go down the whole list of them, but there's a couple others that there's one at least that I thought was kind of interesting. Australia ranks number 9th. They also have a universal healthcare system. And they too, diet plays, an incredible role. The immigrants to Australia actually figure in prominently here, as they bring their dietary inflections as well. Fish and seafoods, once again, are, highly important here. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
In that same report, it tracked like the countries who've had the most improvements in the last 40 years, because essentially all countries have had improvements. But the chart showed that USA had 7.5 year increase in the last 40 years, and that's amongst the lowest I'm about to share with you. Central and South America, 14.3 years. Iran, 21.3 years, but who's the best?
That would be Bangladesh at 24.1 years.
That's amazing.
I'm 21.4.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I may have typed that wrong, because I think that's actually 24 years. I think I may have inverted those numbers. But nonetheless, it's number one and above 20, which is amazing, given it's part of the world and its development. And it's immediately west of India. And, you know, I mean, the story doesn't tell us why theirs have increased so much over the time, but I'm guessing general health standards have improved, not just simply food and diet, because some of these countries had pretty given the population density, had some pretty serious and stark health concerns with sanitation and
clean water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's amazing. But it does seem still fairly remarkable that even in the U.S., you know, in the last 40 years, we've tacked on, that's in our lifetime, we've tacked on 7.5 years. That's crazy. That's crazy. So Mark, what do you think about, Are you doing anything special for your birthday? It sounds like you've already been giving it thought, and you're kind of going into it with the same sort of positive frame of mind. Have you been, you know, has the approaching 50 made you more reflective, taken more time to think about sort of things? What where's your mind at right now?
Well, you know, 50 is, you know, kind of this number that's thrown around. And I always take it as an opportunity to kind of look back and be kind of reflective. So I've been kind of taking stock of where I am now and what are the things that I need to do in order to support an active and healthy lifestyle. And so, you know, I've been trying to work on, you know, cleaning up diet, but when you have such frigid temperatures, you just want to eat bacon cheeseburgers and drink beer. And while there's nothing wrong with that, yeah, it's becoming the sometimes food rather than the everyday food. So, you know, I'm doing my best to kind of, you know, think about what I'm putting in my mouth. And one of the things that I learned about me probably within the last 5 years or so is that I really am a lifelong learner. So in order for me to feel kind of engaged with my life, I have to be constantly learning new things. So I took a class here the last 6 weeks on Coursera, which is a wonderful site because it gives you access to all these classes for free, and it's online learning. And I took a class on ancient Egypt, of all things.
Wonderful.
So, and then I just signed up for another one, which is Buddhism and Western psychology, and how those two are kind of informing the other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I'm learning new things, we've got Alzheimer's in my family, so that's always in the back of my head. So I'm, you know, kind of doing my cognitive gymnastics. I do various puzzles, you know, like Words with Friends. I love Sudoku and Jumble.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, that sort of things. And there's studies that are coming out that says reading is a really important activity for older people to engage in that keeps us cognitively fit.
Yeah. Keeps your mind, keeps you sort of stretching your mental muscles too. Yeah. I worry about people who I know who are, you know, north of 60 and 70 who aren't doing those things. You know, who, and they shall remain nameless, but who don't watch documentaries or thoughtful movies or television at all, other than news and weather, who read only the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, I worry about sort of the malaise of not sort of introducing your mind to new things. And I agree with you. I think I'm a lifelong learner, probably not as robust as you. But I think it's important. It's critically important. Have you set a goal for, like, you know, learning a new language or learning some new skill?
No, there's nothing really that structured about it. It's just basically guided by what's interesting to me right now in this moment.
Yeah.
I've also, you know, kind of rededicated myself to a formal meditation practice.
Yeah.
And that is really kind of beneficial, I think. I know, for example, my Tai Chi teacher, and she's got to be in her, I think she's in her late 60s, and you wouldn't think that by meeting her. And you know, that's kind of that Asian martial arts discipline and meditation, and all of those things kind of have the ability to kind of contribute to a better quality of life, but you have to put forth some effort into it.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Exactly. Did you say writing? You're also interested in doing writing?
Yep. Yep. I try and write as much as I can. That's usually around journaling and that sort of thing. There's a lot of writing, or I wouldn't say writing in my work life, but communication is key, and how to communicate effectively in the written word is critical. So
you don't have a desire to write a book?
No, but maybe a collection of poetry.
Yeah.
You know.
That's pretty cool. Shout out to Seder of the Seder Spheres podcast. He is interested in writing a book. He's been tweeting and Facebooking about that. He's and he needs encouragement, so go Seder, go. I think that's the important thing, is really not putting any limitations or requirements on whatever these things need to be. You kind of go with where your interest lies. I think that's smart. Not, you know, because it's not about introducing stress or, you know, success and failure. It's about finding a way to spark the imagination. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What else are you doing in preparation for 50?
Well, I'll probably be just celebrating with a close circle of friends. It's really hard since my birthday is December 27th.
Yeah.
With the holidays around, it's really kind of difficult. I had one childhood birthday party when I was growing up, just one. I invited, I can't remember, it was like maybe 10 or 12 kids.
Yeah.
And three of them showed up.
Yeah, that's murder.
You know.
That's absolute murder.
Yeah, yeah. So once I got to, I think it was 40, when I basically said, you know, I have kind of been screwed my entire life on birthday things. So I celebrate the entire month of December.
I love it.
Yeah.
So I know of at least two people who actually have their birthday on Christmas Day. And one is my good cruising buddy, Steve, of John and Steve fame. John actually turns 50 in January. And of course, you know that my friend Joey turned 50. That was the Mexican cruise we took. And I had another friend that we visited earlier this year, David in Jersey, who also turned 50. So a lot of, you know, it's interesting at that time of your life that there's also a lot of people you went to like college or high school with who are also turning 50. So seeing how everybody, you know, how everybody has a take on that and what they do. I went to Paris with my good friend Mark of Mark and Kevin fame. They got married in New York City, and then immediately after the wedding, we went to Paris to celebrate Mark and his twin brother Matt's 50th birthday. And so that, honestly, I hadn't really thought about doing anything like super magnanimous for my 50th, but that put me in the mind of thinking about it. And so I'm leaning toward a trip to Hawaii. I'm about 85% sure that will happen, possibly a 2-week trip. So it's going to be interesting. I feel in many ways like you, I'm not stressing about it. I probably, it is just a number, but I probably am giving it a little bit more, you know, attention, but I do view it as like a next chapter, in my life, which dovetails with sort of other things going on in my life. So it's, you know, I've realized early last year, I really need to get serious about my health, you know, paying more attention to getting my eyes checked out. I now wear glasses. I'm now on blood pressure medicine, just sort of being a bit more attentive, get back into the annual physical thing. I've got a big goal. I'm going to slap on myself come January 1, and that's to lose 50 pounds by my 50th birthday.
Wow.
So I'm committing to that on air right now. So
okay.
50 by 50.
Do you need me to hold you accountable?
I think I'm going to need a lot of people to hold me accountable.
So when you're tweeting pictures of donuts, I can say, that is, George?
Yeah, that is not in the 5x5 program, the 50 by 50 program. Yeah, so it's going to require both an increased attention to diet, but also some increased attention to exercise. So I'm working on both of those. But yeah, I mean, it's about the health, it's about wellness, it's about sort of, as you said, taking stock. That's a perfect way to put it. It is sort of taking stock of where you are and what life means and where you want to be and what are you doing to get there and what are you doing to give yourself the space and the peace and the harmony that you need. It's not just about achieving things, right? It is about, you know, I mean, one of the things you should be looking to achieve is a sense of happiness, you know, and a sense of being in that moment in life instead of sort of always looking forward. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having goals and looking forward to things, but there's also one of the things I need to focus on is sort of living in the moment and being happy with right now, which I've done a better job of over the last few years. But yeah, so I feel like I'm in a pretty good place about it. Now, see me when that ARRP letter gets here. Might have a totally different opinion.
That's true.
That's awesome. All right, kids. We're going to need to call it there. Mark, we're going to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
December 27th.
That's correct.
And we'll be thinking about you after the stockings have come down. Hope that Santa is double dipping and bringing you a birthday present as well.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
He's good. He's good like that.
He's good.
All right, Mark, stay warm up there.
All right, take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LAFFING BUDDHA. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.